It's the Way of the Master Radio pre-show mail call delivery bag, Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza, featuring your emails, letters, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Have you checked your email this morning?
Incoming message.
I think he wants to communicate.
There is a message for you.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Now, here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Is a soul and a spirit the same thing?
Seems to me this is the Way of the Master Radio pre-show show. Would you beep talk us? If and you'd be so kind, 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP. Beep talk. Beep. Yeah, we're clever that way. If, by the way, you don't know that you're saved, send us a note. We'll get on it. Toot sweet. Saved at wayofthemasterradio.com. Best I can tell, the soul and the spirit are one and the same thing. They are two different words to describe the same thing. I know there's some difference of opinion in this issue, but I think that we are dualistic. We're body and we are soul. That's it. And there's not an additional thing in there. And the reason that I land there, because I know sometimes Paul, for instance, in making a list, he'll say body and soul and spirit and mind and strength and all of those things. I think he makes those lists to simply emphasize the point of thoroughness, totalness, completeness, and not that they are separate elements. If I might ask, what would the difference be if it's not the thing that animates you, the animus, the soul, the thing that gives you life? What is it? What could it be? Getting into dicing up, this is, by the way, this is one that I've seen a lot of arguments over, and I just don't think we should spend a whole lot of time there. Psychologists and psychiatrists seem to, your ego and your id and your what have you, and let's let them play around in that territory. Seems to me you've got an eternal soul, which is who you are, basically, and a body that goes with it. And ultimately, don't forget, the good news is we're going to get a brand new one someday that'll last for forever.
A friend of mine at work trying to tell me that when we're saved, we no longer sin. And he uses the reference to 1 John 3:9.
Ooh, that's a tricky. Okay, 1 John 3:8 and 9 basically says this. If you keep on sinning, you are of the devil. Sir, what you need to explain to them in the Greek language, and some of the translations bring this out rather nicely, there is something called the present tense. We use different tenses, and we use different ways of saying how long an action takes place or if it happened. In the Greek, it gets far more complex than I think in English. Sometimes there are events that happen and they were completed and done. They were punctiliar, they were aorist. Sometimes there were perfect tenses where something happened in the past, but there's ongoing effects. Well, and there's future events, a future partially completed, future fully completed, all kinds of things. And in 1 John 3:8 and 9, we've got the present tense, which isn't just I am. Okay, here, wait a second. I'm going to do this. I'm drinking a sip of water. The present tense in Greek is an ongoing thing. And so the translation that brings it out nicely is, if you keep on sinning, you are of the devil. It is a lifestyle of sin. It is an ongoing, never-ending sort of affair. In other words, and this is using some other scriptures too, it's a lifestyle more defined by sin than by holiness. Foithemoa, don't forget context. We always want to look at the immediate context, the chapter, then we want to look at the whole book, then we want to look at what that same writer said about the same subject in other places, and then we want to look and see what everybody said, kind of that expanding circle, to try to figure out how to come up with a systematic theology on the subject. And when you scoot to 1 John, if we say that it's 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And furthermore, in chapter 2, it talks about having that we have an advocate if we sin. So with all of those things combined, Christians still sin. It's just that it's not an ongoing thing defined by a lifestyle of sin. So tell your perfectionist friend, oh, yes, we do. And I have to tell you something, though, dude. Just get ready for one. The best thing I think you can do is go after his conscience, and you can decide if this is good advice or not. I have tried to talk to people who believe in perfectionism, Wesleyan or otherwise. It's a headbanger. It'll just make your head sore. Try to witness to them using the law, and see if you can just get them snippy and show them that they're sinning in their anger. Aha! You're not perfect. Let's start the show.
The Way of the Master Radio begins in 3,
two, one.
Love.
You believe that God loves you. If you have faith, you'll go to heaven.
Exciting and new.
A loving God would not let someone go to hell.
Come aboard.
In the end, we'll all be accepted into heaven, hopefully.
We're expecting you.
Well, I've heard people say that they think what God is doing in this world is he's loving everybody. That's God's thing. And we're all together and just God's just loving us. And not. God loves us. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's not some pampering love. Listen, it's a perfecting love. It's a love that wants our highest and best usefulness for his purposes.
It's time for The Way of the Master Radio with Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, and Todd Friel.
Salute!
Hey!
Alrighty. Thank you very much. This is Way of the Master Radio. Not a 21-gun salute, but a 4 salute. Or something like that. We were never very good at math here. This is, did I mention Way of the Master Radio? Anytime there's math involved, I gotta tell you something. We're in big trouble. Our first salute du jour. Let me just warn you. This is gonna be a little rough. Our first salute goes to these guys. I have no idea what they're singing. I have no idea if their music is sound. But I just read an article on Christian Post and I went,
as loud
dude,
as it is, it must be sound. Like noise.
Oh, by the
turn
way.
Turn that down.
If you and quit slamming the door. Excuse me, not trying to refrigerate the house. Please, close it gently. All righty, can you tell who parents are? Just comes flying out.
Trying to heat the outdoors or what?
We said it never would, and it just does. It just comes. You said I would never talk like that to my kids. Oh, yes, you will, young people. Listen to me. You don't think you're going to grow up to be us? You will.
And Cara was only 3 months old when I got the last one. I have no idea at what point I looked at my child under 3 months old and said, you do not talk to me in that tone of voice. But I must have somewhere in there.
Let me just warn you, young person. Take a look at us. This might make you a little squeamish. Look at us. You're going to be us someday. Just prepare yourself. I'm just warning you right now. Hey, how do you like a spanking? It's going to come out of your mouth. I guarantee you. Because when you were a kid, you answered the question. You went, yeah, I'd love one. Could I get the belt this time instead of the wooden spoon? Lay it in there, Dad, because I'd love a good whooping. That's what I'd like. I'd like a spanking. In fact, when I was at school today, I was thinking during study hall, when I get home, I sure hope my dad will serve up a good old whooping for me. You're going to say those things.
How did you live through childhood?
Just with a lot of bruises. These guys are called Haste the Day. Haste the Day. Oh, if only the Anglicans could do what Haste the Day has done. They are a Christian band. I guess I don't know anything about them. I'm not taking a poke. I have to confess, this is not my favorite genre of music. But even so, they are a Christian band.
Hey.
Yeah?
What is ultra metal?
I have
or
no
what
idea.
Is it? Whatever it is they play.
Okay, these guys. This
metalcore.
Is, that's what this is.
Yeah.
If you want to know what metalcore is?
Yeah.
You're listening to it right now.
Turn that noise down.
Oh, go to our website. You've got to see the Capuchin monk who sings like this. I'm not making that up. It's not a bit. It's not a spoof.
Really?
Let me tell you about a meeting that we had about 2 years ago. We said it would be so cool if we could put up video at wayofthemasterradio.com. Just something that has some sort of religious, whether good, bad, or ugly. Just something. And we all went, I don't know. One a day. That's 5 a week. Because, you know, the weekend. Who works? We'll never find enough stuff. Oh. Go to the website. A news story on a Capuchin monk who got inspired at a Metallica concert. What's he doing there? And now he's in the video. Singing, you know, those weird things. Don't ever do that without warming up. Singing that, those sounds that... WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I'll be back later.
Unbelievable.
This I gotta see.
By the way, I'll just, you know, at the first 30 seconds will get the job done. Trust me. By the way, if you'd like to hear some nicer music... Scott Crepane will be leading worship at Deeper. Plugs are us. deeperconference.com. I don't know how many people are going. Last time I heard it was over 1,000 people are registered, which is rockin' cool. You heard me. Rockin' cool. Because that's the grooviest term I could think of. Because I'm a hepcat. Go to deeperconference.com and you will see Paul Washer and Ken Ham and Marshall Foster, Johnny Hunt, Easy, Kirk, Ray, Scrub Boy, all there. It's in the middle of October. Join us, won't you? Haste the Day had one of their members, the guitarist, was going on a spiritual search. They're a Christian band, and he was a little confused about things. So they said, take a little time. And he came back basically and said, I don't believe that there's a God. In fact, I don't even believe that there's a Jesus. In fact, he phrased it like this. Jason had determined that there was no God and certainly no Jesus. Whoa, dude, one and the same anyway, but okay. Me reading too much of the Jesus seminar silliness, which will go down in history as maybe the second biggest ha-ha right behind evolution. So guess what they did? Are you paging the Lambeth Conference? Paging the Lambeth Conference. If there are any Anglicans listening, probably not. If there are any Anglicans listening, do what the band did. They kicked him out. They booted him. They said, you know what? Well, not quite like that, but they showed him the left hand of fellowship right out the back door is what they did. After several months, he made the decision. The group identifies itself as Christian and said it's part of our foundation, and he didn't agree. Even though he was one of our closest friends, bye-bye, way to go, who haste the day. If they would just, it's an African bishop who is speaking so clearly. I was thinking today, I know, I, go ahead and laugh, but it happens. I was thinking today about that pastor we heard yesterday. That's another video we should throw up on the website, is that foolish man yesterday who was saying that Todd Bentley, when he baptized somebody in the name of the Father, Son, and Bam, he used that term because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come in power. The word for power is dunamis. No, it's not. But at any rate, it was dynamite, and dynamite goes bam. He watches a lot of cartoons, and so instead of calling the Holy Spirit, he called him bam, because the Holy Spirit is coming in power, and dynamite makes that sound, bam. Get it? In the name of the Father, Son, and Bam. Get it? Shocking. And I was pondering that today, and just thinking, what would the Puritans have said if they had come and would hear an explanation like that? Honestly, I fear for his life. I kid you not. I think they might look at that and they would be like, put down the firearm. Just put it down. I know they baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and Bam. I know that you used to drown people, the Anabaptists. Please. Stay away from Todd Bentley, don't drown, and this pastor. They would lose their minds over it. And we, of course, treat it as if, well, we've got to let God be out of the box. Hi. And at least one African bishop is saying to the Lambeth Conference, the gathering of Anglicans, have to throw in this nota bene. And that is, not every Anglican is liberal. In fact, there are some lovely Anglicans that we could learn from. They're very high in their church and very... You know, whenever I meet a serious, I think of my buddy James Pace, and who's now the, ready for this? He's the priest at Wimbledon. Don't you?
There's a gig.
I'm telling you. You want me to do what? Sweep, huh? Scrub the toilets how many times? Fine.
You bet.
I'm coming. I'll be. Do I just get to be around the strawberries and cream once a year? Okay. I'll take that. I'm feeling called. So he's there, and he's a pup. He's like, he's probably 28 now, I think. Dignified in his office and in his carriage and in his manner, and not a silly, silly boy at all. And not a, hey, 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 how we all doing? Hey-ya! How you doing, y'all? Say, how you doing, y'all? How you doing, y'all? How you doing, y'all? Say it. Come on.
Does he use a motorcycle?
Which I've seen. The guy...
Just wondering.
Certain sense of justice in that.
It's funnier than it should be.
The pastor who was driving a motorcycle during his sermon?
Yeah.
Whatever.
To teach unity. To be one with the bike, yeah. Is
stop
like...
it.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
To teach... Okay. So to teach unity, the pastor rides a motorcycle because you have to be one with your motorcycle?
Well,
because,
you know, your weight and how you shift and things all has to flow, and this is unity.
Got to be careful with parables.
Maybe that's why he didn't let go of the bike.
Should have apparently landed in a hospital is where he ended
up. Well, actually the first row, then the hospital.
Oh, hope they've got good insurance.
Unoccupied. They were. It's a church, man. There's nobody in the front row.
Hope they... Was it a Lutheran church?
No, actually, I think it's a Baptist church.
Oh!
Sorry.
Wow. More of the Spirit in the last three rows, don't you know?
He hangs out there, yeah.
So, wait a second. The analogy, anytime you do a this is like this, got to be so careful. So careful, because quickly the whole thing can fall apart. I mean, I've ridden a motorcycle before. You take a lot of bumps on that boy. Have you ever watched America's Funniest Video? When they're crashing into a tree, they don't look very united. Whatever. The Anglicans, see, there's some lovely people in the denomination, in that church. But V. Gene Robinson and a couple of and many others who are following in his wake are being called out by a fellow in Africa, a bishop in Africa, who's literally said, in order to maintain unity in this communion, he needs to be sacked.
Bishop Deng?
Maybe. Yeah. I didn't follow the story that thoroughly.
Did.
I didn't read.
Listen to the news later.
Clear talk. Just, that's what's needed. This is silly. The man is married to another man. We can't find something in the Anglican documents that says, sorry, V. Gene, you gotta, no. Mm-mm. Sorry. There's nothing? And at least somebody's speaking straight. Ay, 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 ay. It's such a lack of courage these days. Such a lack of conviction these days. Where's the integrity?
Hey, what?
Second hey, salute.
What? Hey, what?
If you have to, turn off the radio. In the next 30 seconds, turn it off now, because if you don't hear the whole thing, you're going to think something snapped here. Our salute goes to the Pope, is who it goes to. Why? Because Pope Benedict XVI has reasserted the universal primacy of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is kind of a rehash deal, but basically stating that other churches do not have the means of salvation because they do not have apostolic succession. Christ established here on earth only one church, the document said, and other communities cannot be called churches in the proper sense because they do not have apostolic succession. Sir, thank you. I'm okay with that. You believe this? I believe that. Okay, we just don't hurt each other now. That's all. Say it like it is, and let's start determining, how's about just inside of evangelicalism? That there are some doctrines that will divide us. Oh, where is that? Hold on. Got it right here. Gene Edward Veith wrote an article, just his latest blog, which I go to all the time, just in hopes that I can find something really good to keep Tony plugged into the program.
Thank you.
About unity and doctrine. And some people say, well, doctrine is the enemy of unity. It divides. It doesn't unify. Listen to what he writes. It seems to me that a congregation that splits because of disagreements is going from disunity to unity. The dissensions within the congregation keep it from being unified. But when the members form two congregations, each enjoys a greater amount of unity than was experienced before. See, Christians are unified because we believe. That's it. We're the called out ones. We're the church. We've got unity. But denominationalism is almost like a blessing from God. We don't have to belong to the same particular congregations. And so, let's let doctrine cause divisions with those with whom we truly disagree, and let's just say what it is. Now, here's the disingenuous line, if you ask me. Despite the harsh tone of the document, I don't think it's harsh. I'm fine with the tone. It stresses that Pope Benedict remains committed to ecumenical dialogue. How's that work? However, if such dialogue is to be truly constructive, it must involve not just the mutual openness of the participants, ready for this, but also fidelity to the identity of the Catholic faith. In other words,
you all become Catholic and we'll be good.
We're fine with ecumenism, as long as you become Catholic and agree with everything that we say. That got a little disingenuous at the end, but even so. By the way, Pope apologizing, saying that he's deeply sorry for the clergy sex abuse in Australia. Quote, I am deeply sorry for the pain and suffering the victims have endured. I assure them as their pastor that I too share in their suffering. Those responsible for these evils must be brought to justice. It's interesting, bringing the bad guys to justice, he didn't say that we'll take money from them and give it to the poor, because that's not what justice is. Despite the effort of so many evangelicals these days, Jim Wallis, Tony Campolo, these peace movements that make it sound like justice is just taking money from people who've got some and giving it to people who don't. That's not justice. That's called socialism. Justice is when a bad guy does something wrong and they are punished for it. Or I suppose you could go the opposite way and you could say that it is, you get a reward for doing good. That might be justice if you want to go that way. Don't forget the evangelicals who are trying to tell you, hey, you conservatives, you need to be given more. We already do. The statistics bear it out. It's the conservatives that give. It is the liberals who don't. Leona Helmsley, here's another example. She's giving her estate from $5 to $8 billion to the dogs. Literally. So Jim Wallis, Tony Campolo, Brian McLaren, hey, if you want to take money through the government to give to the poor, do it, but don't brag about it like Ananias and Sapphira, and then don't point a finger at us and say we're not doing enough. That stinketh the most. This is Way of the Master Radio.
Besides thank you, what can we say? We invited you to join us to seek and save the lost together, and you responded so magnificently. Thank you very much. We have such a glorious gospel. It's our heart's desire that millions of people who walk in darkness will hear the law of God and then flee to the blood-stained cross in repentance and faith. What a joy it is to labor together in this effort. If you'd like to join us, please visit our website, wayofthemasterradio.com. wayofthemasterradio.com. Let's seek and save the lost together.
This is huge and small all at the same time. Are you a smaller church and you would love to have a professional team come in and teach your flock how to witness and share their faith biblically, the way of the master style? Got a great website for you to go to. It's heartsforthelost.com. Okay, small church, no more excuses. They're willing to come in and train the flock to hit the streets. heartsforthelost.com.
Crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. And we didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
When you get the chance, ask your atheist friends, when, where, why, and how did life learn to reproduce itself?
Now you're talking like a man.
This is Way of the Master with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Chica Boomba. Hey, guess what sound effect has been stuck in my head for the last 24 hours? Can you guess?
Chica Boomba.
This is Way of the Master Radio. Boy, was that annoying. That, of course, would be the voice of one Todd Bentley, who claims to be healing an awful lot of people down in Florida. Problem is, doesn't seem to have any proof for said healings. Uh-oh, that's a problem. There should be something. Nightline did a special on Todd Bentley not too long ago, and they did a little follow-up to see, okay, well, you're claiming that a lot of people are getting fixed. Just some proof would be nice.
If I have 1,000 people consenting, I'll give you 1,000 names.
I just want 3.
But we absolutely, we'll give it to you.
But we never got 3. Instead, we were given a binder filled with what Bentley says are stories of inspiring miracles. It offered incomplete contact information, a few pages of incomplete medical records. Doctors' names were crossed out.
That should be the end of the story. Please, 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 please. I know, as I speak, there are people listening who think I'm a bad guy for bringing this up. This should be the end of the tale of Todd Bentley right now. If that doesn't do it, consider this release from Bud Press, Director, Christian Research Service. If you recall, Todd Bentley claims to have raised somebody from the dead. Apparently, according to Mr. Bentley, he was preaching and they had the revival on in a funeral home. And the guy who had been embalmed sat up straight in the casket and is now alive and well. And the family sent him an email to tell him about this. That would be number 13 from the dead, said Todd Bentley. Quote, we're going to confirm it. We got to confirm it. We're going to do a follow-up, but I thought I'd read it as I received the testimony. Bud Press writes, I became curious after watching the video and called numerous funeral homes in and around Lakeland, Florida. I spoke to officials and asked questions pertaining to a dead man being raised to life from his coffin. A few asked, "Are you serious?" while others laughed. But without exception, they all said it had not happened. Also, a few officials said that if a dead man had actually been raised to life from a coffin, embalmed, no less, they would have known about it. Nationwide. This would have made local, state, national, and worldwide headlines. Can you see it? The dead rising to life from caskets. Funeral homes closing doors. Anyway, one funeral home representative said that a family, via the Lakeland Revival, had come to the funeral home and prayed for one that had died, but the burial took place as scheduled. So just to make sure, I called the Board of Funerals, Cemetery and Consumer Services in Florida, and asked the same question. Again, the answer was no. Had a dead man sat up in his coffin, as described in the email read by Todd Bentley, they would have heard about it. Two Bible verses for your consideration. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain, though, from evil. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
If I have 1,000 people consenting, I'll give you 1,000 names.
I just want 3.
But we absolutely, we'll give it to you.
But we never got 3. Instead, we were given a binder filled with what Bentley says are stories of inspiring miracles. It offered incomplete contact information, a few pages of incomplete medical records. Doctors' names were crossed out.
The end of the tale. Yes? There's another fella who you would think, oh, this is impossible. There's no way that people are following a guy who claims that he used to be Paul, then he became Jesus, now he's the Antichrist. Oh, yeah? Well, he's making the rounds again.
He claims to be the second coming of Christ. His message is controversial. Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda has been in the Houston area before, and once again this evening, a crowd gathered to hear his every word.
I am the second coming of Christ, that Messiah that they've been waiting for.
We first introduced you to De Jesus Miranda in 2006. He runs a worldwide organization, Creciendo en Gracia, or Growing in Grace, that he claims has millions of followers.
Uh-huh.
He preaches a message of freedom to indulge.
This message tells us that we're perfect, that there's no sin, that there's no devil.
And also, no hell.
If they call you a sinner, we feel hurt that someone will call you a sinner.
Yeah, that's a good cover-up right there. You don't sin anymore, according to Jose Miranda. Why? Well, because he does a fair amount of drinking and womanizing himself. Those are the reports. Verifiable, certifiable. But you know, if nothing else, it gives us an opportunity here at Way of the Master Radio to have ourselves a little bit of a flashback. You may recall, we actually called up and had a conversation with Jose Miranda. Remember? It looks like we've actually got Jose Luis de Jesus Olazabal Miranda.
Wait, we
on
have
the telephone right now.
We have What is he this week? The Antichrist.
Next week he's going to be the Scorpion.
Oh.
I think that's Revelation 14.
Does The Rock know?
Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, thank you very much for joining us today on We Are the Master Radio, sir.
How you doing? Thank you for having me on today.
Do I call you Jesus or Pastor Miranda? What title do you like, sir?
It doesn't really matter to me. You could even, if you like, to call me Jesus, maybe.
Or do you prefer Mr. Antichrist?
People don't understand what I mean by that.
Well, maybe you could explain it to everybody. That sure would be helpful.
Okay, the thing is that the people don't realize that they don't know the Greek word that I'm trying to explain. I don't read Greek or nothing, but I feel like it's a good thing. Like, some people say like a bad thing, but I don't. So, I don't really understand. You're laughing!
No, sir, it just seems that you've moved from being a heroin addict to being Paul to being Jesus to the Antichrist to being Ricky Ricardo.
No, that's not nice, okay? That's making fun of me. But I try to tell you this, okay? Like, sometimes, the people, They make a big deal about the Paul the Apostle thing. For like a long time, they call me Paul the Apostle.
Uh-huh.
But that's because I was trying to figure out who I am. That takes time sometimes.
Well, sir, maybe you could explain how... Did doing heroin have anything to do with the fact that you now think that you are Jesus the Antichrist?
I don't think so. I mean, some people, they think it is, but I know that it's the real thing that I am.
I happened to catch you on a Dateline NBC report with John Quinones, and you were drinking, was it Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, hard liquor, sir?
I think it was both.
I see. And you aren't fond of wine. You just like the 100 proof business.
That's the new way.
It sure is the new way.
Like the other way was the wine.
Yes.
But I kind of like, I don't know how to explain, but I like to make new styles. So that's the new thing I'm doing.
Boy, you sure do. Tell me, sir, not only do you drive around in fancy cars, but tell me about the Rolex that you own. That's a beauty.
The Rolex? What do you mean the Rolex? I got like four or something. No, I'm sorry, I got three. I used to have four, but I give one to my assistant. My assistant, he is the assistant Antichrist, like something like that.
Is that the fellow in Revelation that will do signs and wonders to authenticate your ministry?
But his signs and wonders are the real ones.
How do I know that?
Because I'm telling you.
Ah.
Because I am. I am Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus de Miranda. I am Jesus.
I'm sorry, you're who?
Hey, you're laughing at me.
I am not. I am breathless. How do you pronounce your name?
Oh, okay, I tell you that. I thought you were laughing at me again.
No.
Because, you know, even though I am the Jesus Christ man, I have feelings. Okay? But my name, I tell you that, since you're serious about asking me about that one. Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Jesus Christ, man!
So if we cut you, you'll bleed. If we hurt you, you'll cry.
No, I don't bleed, though. That's the thing that I try to tell people. In fact, I don't know if you see it in one of my interviews, but I told the one guy, he couldn't even kill me. Nothing. No, even if he try, he can't kill me. But don't tell... Listen, yeah. Okay? I don't want you to ask me this question because I confuse about it. I know that nobody could kill me, but why do I have Secret Service men and I drive around in armored vehicles?
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that, so don't ask me that. Maybe, don't laugh at me!
No, maybe... Jesus, you could perhaps, to authenticate your claim to being divine, you could actually tell me what I'm thinking right now.
Let me try.
Okay.
Let me try.
Yeah.
That's hard. You know, people like try to ask me that all the time. And sometimes it's, I got it.
Okay.
You're thinking that even though this is hard for me right now, but you're thinking, though, that even though you're making fun of me, in your heart, you really know that I am Jesus. Hey, I told you, man, don't laugh at me.
Thank you, sir, for checking in. Jose Maruz. Miranda. Memories.
Adam! Adam!
Isn't that cool how they talk like that? Very cool. In a limited amount. Because you wouldn't want somebody doing like a radio program the whole time like that. But isn't that... One more salute before we go. This is a fellow who is a Presbyterian. ClassicalPresbyterian.blogspot.com/2008/07 confessions-of PCUSA fundamentalist_15.html. Confessions. I remember how I used to laugh at the kind of person that I found myself now becoming. Being a pastor has changed me as a person. I came out of seminary believing that I had been taught what I had been taught. Trained in the school of academic thought that says that anyone who thinks the Bible is without inner contradictions, ha! It was written by people. and that by and the people who claim to have that they're inspired are brainless dopes. In short, I was a well-trained historical critical neoliberal pastor, not a grammatical historical, but a historical critical. That's bad. Little did I know what God had in store for me. In the parish, I had a rigorous preaching schedule, and I taught a regular Sunday morning Bible study. Week after week, several church members that I engaged with Scripture, they discussed their meanings. In that class, I found myself with two people in particular who had been taught under the teaching ministry of R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. They loved me, and I loved them, so week after week, we engaged each other in the attempt to convince the other that they misunderstood the interpretation and purpose of Scripture. I found myself losing the argument week after week. Being prideful, I started to investigate these outrageous claims that I was unable to refute. These people anticipated my every argument, every countermove, and every point that my seminary training had taught me. It was extremely frustrating. Concurrently, my preaching was drying up. My faith was slipping into irrelevancy. It was only at funerals that I could preach with clarity and conviction. Somehow, it was in speaking of the gospel promises of Jesus that I sensed what I had been missing. I started to read those people I used to make fun of. You know, J.I. Packer, D.A. Carson. I remember it so clearly. They were so rational and clear. They were so confident and yet so humble in their assuredness that the Bible really was without error, and it was right, and the scales fell from my eyes. Suddenly, I found Jesus in the Old Testament. Suddenly, it all became clear. No gaps, no messy contradictions, no money compromises, just clarity and peace, perfect peace. And I wouldn't trade it for any treasure in all the world. Salute, sir, for your humility. This is Way of the Master Radio.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I'm inviting you to go deeper. Deeper is a two-day event where you'll be immersed in amazing biblical teaching from some of today's most notable teachers, including Paul Washer, Ray Comfort, and Ken Ham. Attend Deeper, and you'll never go back to the shallows again. Worship will be led by Scott Crepane, and I'll also be hosting some special sessions just for teens. Join me for Deeper on October 17th and 18th in Atlanta. Get the details at deeperconference.com. That's deeperconference.com. Come on, what are you waiting for?
Come with me now, won't you, as we visit the internet together. I'm at evangelismteam.com. They've got a little section that says tracts, how to use them, how to get them, the harvest, be a laborer, how to do street preaching, how to pass out tracts, how to watch videos, how to answer Bible questions. Tons of resources, videos, and tracts. These people love to reach the lost. And if you do too, or even if you don't, visit evangelismteam.com. We love these guys. They support the radio station. They've got tons of goods. Visit them at evangelismteam.com.
Sounds like it's gonna be hard.
The next time someone says, "That's just your interpretation," have them read the verse and ask them how they might interpret it differently. Ask them to give reasons why they would choose one interpretation over another. Ask them if their interpretation matches what the author intended to say. Remember, the question is not, whose interpretation is this? But, is this interpretation correct?
Remember what William Jennings Bryan said?
This is Way of the Master, with Todd Friel, Ray Comfort, and Kirk Cameron.
Hello. One more salute. Hello. This is Way of the Master Radio.
Hello.
I mean, Way of the Master Radio. This is good, but you got to pray for this woman. Michelle Bachman from the 6th Congressional District in Minnesota went, "Hey, wait a second, don't like this math. Planned Parenthood nets $112 million a year." They do over $1 billion in sales, if you will. Netting $112 million, you and I, dear Christian friend, give them $70 million. 112 minus 70, they don't need that tax money to still generate, what would that be, $42 million in profit? And Michelle Bachman, Congresswoman, even though it's right before the election, stood up and went, "Hey, this has got to stop." So be praying for one Michelle Bachman. By the way, salute also. Okay, two more salutes. South Dakota, the new law went into effect where the abortion provider must explain to the woman that you are terminating the life of a whole, separate, unique, living human being. Way to go, South Dakota. To you we say salute.
Hello.
However, this has the smell of hypocrisy. Nancy Pelosi, speaking at the yearly COSE convention, accused abstinence-only programs as being dangerous to America's youth, and that only the only solution to is to elect more pro-choice politicians. Yeah, we've seen where that got us. She went on to criticize the proposed regulations on conscience protections as being dangerous. And quote, if you don't like abortion, you should love contraception. She went on to say, she's speaking as both a mother of five and a devout Catholic. Oh, what is that smell? Oh, Trish.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, kiddo.
How are you?
Good. I know you're getting ready for deeper already.
I really am. All the planning. I'm really excited about that. I think this is the first conference that we've ever had where there'll actually be worship.
Oh, that, you know what? We're just starting to really structure what that's going to look like. Here's what happens when you get together a couple thousand people who love the Lord. The singing is really loud. It lifts the roof off the place. Scott Crepane will be doing the worship leading, and with everybody that's going to be there preaching, high preaching, there will be high praise. Can't wait for that. Alrighty.
Yeah, you know, Todd, I was wanting to ask you, with Scott Crepane, is that a song, the Deeper song, on the homepage of deeperconference.com? Did he actually write that just for the conference?
I'd love to say yes.
Oh, but he didn't.
No, just lying.
Just worked out that way. Hey, we did this yesterday, but in the Valley of Vision, you're familiar with Valley of Vision, the prayer book? Yeah. Go to page 134, the prayer, The Deeps. And it starts out this way. Lord Jesus, give me a deeper repentance, a deeper knowledge of yourself, a deeper trust. So they didn't write that for us either, because they've been dead for 400 years. So where are you now, kiddo?
Okay, I'm at the mall, and I found a nice gentleman. His name is Dave, and I went right up to him and told him exactly what we were about, what we're doing, and he goes, sure, I'll do it. And he had two other people with him, and they pointed to him and said, yep, why don't you do it? And he is an agnostic. He says he does believe in a supreme being, that there is a supreme being. He was born into the Lutheran religion, but began studying religion and taking several like religious courses in college, and he just began thinking about it, and he said, you know what? He doesn't know what God is, God. He believes all roads basically lead to God. And he said, you know, he just thinks that it's a little bit interesting that he happened to be born in America during this time and just happened to be born into the right religion, meaning Christianity. So he doubts, like, the authenticity of the Bible and things of that nature, too.
Yeah,
his name's Dave.
That's fascinating. All right, now, I know that you will have follow-up. By the way, we put the pictures up on the website last week when you were witnessing with Lucky. Do you remember?
Yes, how could I forget with that tattoo on his lip?
On his inner lip. You have to go to the website to see it, but it's just, And you've got follow-up stories plus information about your church that you and your husband have been working very hard on. You've kind of been co-laboring in that. Your hubby's doing the preaching and teaching. Great reviews. And how was Justin Peters?
Oh, Justin Peters was great. We had a great turnout, and he's just such a genuine man of God. He, you know, is such an eloquent speaker and has everything so well prepared. You know, he's got video clips that really just back up his points about exposing some of the Word Faith teachers. And so our people really learned a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet they did. Find out more. Go to fishwithtrish.com, fishwithtrish.com. She's also the picture-taking queen. You'll see lots of pictures on follow-ups like this one with Dave. Should we give it a go, Trish?
Thanks so much, Todd. All right, Dave, you're live on the air.
Such a treat to work with.
Hello?
Dave, how do you do?
I do very well, thank you.
Dude, you and I have something in common.
Yes?
I went to church for a long time, and check this out. I studied to be a pastor, but I wasn't really a Christian. Sounds kind of like your story. You went to church, you went to Lutheran church a lot, but you just decided, you weren't really a believer. You were just going to church because maybe your parents took you there as a kid. Is that right?
Well, no, at the time, as I grew up, I mean, certainly that's what started me as a churchgoer, as it started all of us. But I did believe, I think that my beliefs changed and evolved over a period of time, and particularly after I got out of high school.
Yeah, see, I would have called myself a false convert. I didn't really believe it. I was a hypocrite because, you know, I was just a churchgoer, but I wasn't really a believer. Would you call yourself that also?
That sounds about right.
All right. All right, let me try something, Dave. You You apparently believe that we just believe in Christianity or Lutheran or Baptist, whatever, because we grew up in this zip code. And if we maybe grew up in Bangladesh, we might be a Hindu, right?
Yes. In fact, I specifically said that before.
Okay, dude, let me lay this on you. See what you think of this argument, okay? I want you to know, I was born and raised in St. Paul, Minnesota. Having said that, I believe that St. Paul, Minnesota is the most beautiful city in the entire world. Now, it might be fair for you to respond, Dave, and say, oh, dude, you're just saying that because you were born there and you live there and you're biased. And I would say to you, you are correct, sir. I might be biased. I might love St. Paul just because I was born and raised there. But it still begs the question, is St. Paul the most beautiful city in the world? And so, just because a lot of people were born in America and they claim to be Christians, that might be the reason, but it still begs the question, is Christianity true? Would you agree with my statement?
What was the statement exactly? I got the question.
Well, you claim that people are their religion because that's where they're born. Well, that might be, but it still begs the question, is that religion true? Just because somebody grows up in America and they're a Christian, and that could be the reason that they're a Christian, that doesn't suddenly mean Christianity is false.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So
I would agree with that.
Okay, so we need to look beyond where people were born and simply determine, is Buddhism right? Is Hinduism right? Is atheism right? Is Christianity right? Fair enough?
Okay.
All right. So tell me, why have you rejected what you learned as a child?
Well, I guess rejected is not the word I would use. I guess my beliefs have changed. So I don't know that you need to actively reject something to change your belief. I just believe different things. And mainly what I believe, and you've probably been prefaced on some of the things that I talked to, and yeah. I forget her name,
Trish.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's right, Trish.
But mainly what I believe is I just don't think we know.
Ah, that's fair. That's fair enough. All right. Dave, tell me, I would like to know, let's just say you were still a Lutheran, all right?
Okay.
What is the most important teaching of Christianity? What would you tell me?
Well, I think the most important teaching is the moral values that we take to our daily interaction with friends, with family, with strangers. Our humanity, I think, is a very important teaching of Christianity and one that I strongly agree with.
Okay. Dave, going back to our beginning conversation that kind of tripped out of the blocks, you and I both went to church as a kid and kind of changed our minds about it because there just something was wrong with it. We changed our mind. We abandoned it. Whatever words we want to use, we didn't really believe it. And you and I think, share that. Let me try to challenge you on something and just see if this makes a fair amount of sense to you, okay?
Okay.
When I was going to church as a kid, I loved the stories. I loved the religion. I like the smells. I like the whole environment. But that was about it. And my lifestyle didn't match my confession, which would make me a hypocrite. But it is later in life when I learned something that just made the entire pic, all the stories, whether it was David and Goliath, the boat and the flood and Jesus and the apostles, all of it became really clear when I learned this. And that is, the Bible teaches that God created the world so that he could demonstrate one of his attributes. And the attributes that he wants to demonstrate is mercy. And here's how it works. He created a world knowing that we'd sin and rebel against him so that he could send his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that you and I as rebels deserve so that if we would respond to the good news, he would save us, rescue us from his wrath, and we'd go to heaven so that everybody and everything and every rock and every tree would clap their hands for joy and say, what a God, what a mercifully kind, amazing God. And when that became clear to me, and I understood that I was at the very short end of God's wrath, it all made sense for me. Everything clicked, and suddenly the idea of any other religion got flushed right down the drain because nothing else was nearly as good and nothing else made as much sense. So, Dave, let me ask you this. When you were going to church, did you understand or believe that you were a really wretched, bad sinner?
You know what? I never did feel that way. And that's actually one of the things I don't like about the preachings of many religions.
They're rules.
I don't think it's important to brand us all as bad sinners.
But what
I never
if, but
liked
Dave, what
the concept
and
never agreed with
What that. If we are, though, Dave?
Well, I mean, at any given moment, do we all do things that perhaps we know are wrong and that society looks at as wrong and any religion would define as wrong? Yeah, we do. I mean, all the time. But
yeah.
To just have that be our label for all of humanity, I don't know. I think that approach should be rewritten. I think that there's a better, more positive way to approach it.
But there is good news at the end of the story. But Dave,
I understand it. There is.
If we really
are
bad, but if we really are bad, isn't it the kind thing to say to somebody, "Hey, friend, guess what? The Bible says that there's a standard by which we'll be judged, and God has a day of judgment. And I want to warn you because God sees us as bad people, but He's kind and He'll rescue us. Come to your senses, man. Isn't that the kind thing to do?"
I'm not saying it's unkind, but I don't need the particular bad approach to inspire me
you think
to
you're
everyday
a good person.
Kindness. Or,
yeah, because you think you're a good person.
I believe that I am. I believe I have my issues, but I believe that primarily I am a good person.
And would you ever be open to an explanation where somebody said, I can actually prove to you that you're not a good person? Would you be open to that?
You know what? I probably would not.
All right.
I would consider a person approaching me with that had an agenda, and I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah, but it would be a kind agenda, wouldn't it?
I don't see how. I understand what you just said.
Well, to save you from the wrath that is to come, that would be the kindness.
Well, here's what I believe about the wrath that is to come.
Yeah.
The God, in my mind, is going to look at what I do every day.
I agree with that completely. And hey, we've got to end our time together. Dave, just ponder this one thought. You're right. He's
okay.
Going to. And Jesus said, if you just look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So He's going to look, all right. And it might be an ugly picture. And the wise thing to do is take a look and see, not how do I think about myself, but how does God see me? Dave, I hope you'll do that with Trish. It's hour one, Way of the Master Radio.